How we doing? We finish at 12 now, is that right? Why don't we just pray? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, it's all about you. It's always ever been about you. Sometimes we're just catching up. We thank you we can stand here today, we can meet together as people who have been transformed by you. Thank you that it's not just a new fad, it's not just a new thing, but God, you've been doing this for thousands of years. You've been transforming people. We thank you that you're alive. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you impact our lives. Like Felicity said, we just welcome you into this place. We welcome your presence, which is just when you draw near. We welcome you to come into this place and do whatever you want. In Jesus' name. Last week when I came into church, Darren came running over to me and he shared with me some amazing news. For those that don't know, he did have a condition with his blood where his was it iron levels? Irons were extremely high, and about 3 weeks ago we prayed for him, and the next day he was to go get another blood test, and the long and short of it is that the iron levels have come back perfectly, This is crazy because the doctors were doing bloodletting. Medical procedures and all this to try and help this process. They've apparently said that they've never seen levels come back like this before. Something that has been impossible, and we just want to thank God because he did the thing. Why don't we just thank him this morning? We just thank Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means that, like in Peter, it says that if he did it for Darren, he's going to do it for you. It is the spirit of prophecy. The same thing will be released today. If you've got an issue with your blood, maybe the blood pressure is high, maybe it's low, maybe there's an imbalance, whatever it is, and you want to be healed, why don't you just stand right now? Any issue with your blood? Because the very testimony is the spirit of prophecy. If anybody here has got any imbalance in their blood, maybe your blood's affecting organs or whatever medical thing it is, would you just stand right now? If you also just believe in God for a miracle in your body, feel free to stand as well. Church, you know what to do. Let's get around these guys and let's just believe God. Just quickly find out what the issue is. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Lord, that very testimony of Darren will be released today. Quickly find out what the problem is. And now we're going to declare in the authority of Jesus, the same miracle that happened 3 weeks ago will be released today. We just speak total alignment in blood, in organs, in imbalances, total alignment to heaven. Speak to the condition and tell that it is there illegally. It no longer has access to inflict these bodies. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. All sickness must leave, and we just speak the healing power of God to invade these bodies right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are King. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we give you praise. Jesus, we give you praise. Jesus, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, for even physical conditions being changed right now. Thank you, Lord. Right now, imbalances being brought in alignment with heaven, in alignment with design. We just thank you right now for your healing power. Amen. Who experienced the presence of God in them when you were getting prayed for? Maybe you felt peace. Maybe you felt a physical change in your body. Yeah. I just encourage you to go get yourself checked out. Stay on your medication, but go get yourself checked out. And then we can rejoice like we did with Darren about the wonderful thing that God does. This is crazy. Blood imbalance is being totally made right. It's nothing but the power of God. It's nothing but the power of God. Let your faith be increased. Let hope arise that this is the God we serve. Amen. Okay, let's get going. The last couple of months, there's been two passages from the Bible that have been just impacting me so much. And one of them is in Acts 2, and the other one is in Ephesians 4. And my hope today is that I'll be able to combine these two and bring a message that will inspire and challenge you today. And if I don't, give me another chance over morning tea, and I can try again. But I really believe God wants to speak to us today as a church and as individuals. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in the Old Testament, when they were finished building the temple, it said the fire and the glory came upon the house of God. We are now in the New Testament. We are now the temple of God. We are now the house of God. No longer does the Lord come upon buildings and bricks and mortar and wood, but he actually indwells us as the temple of God. And in Acts 2, we saw the fire of God come upon a group of people. It wasn't a building, even though they were in a building, but it was upon a group of people. As I combine these two passages, we're going to jump between them, but I really want to talk about this issue of unity. Because I believe that in the early church, it was one of the significant factors that saw the move of God come. Unity was one of the things that actually released a sound. It released something from heaven that impacted earth. And unity is more than just people agreeing on an issue. Unity is so much more than that. If unity is purely just about us being in agreement, it means when I disagree with you, somebody's got to leave the relationship. Now, hear me clearly that I believe that there's some things we should agree on. I believe that there's essential Christian foundational truths that need to be agreed on. And I believe that the truth needs to be confronted, the truth needs to be spoken. But I see division in the church that is usually never about essential fundamental truths. It's about personal preference, it's about style, or it's even about the perspective on a certain topic. And a lot of times, and I've fallen into the trap of this, a lot of the times I've taken a bullet for something I should have never taken a bullet for. I've fought a fight for something I should have never been fighting. And what happens is we turn our attention to the very thing God has called us to, and we turn our attention to internal issues. God has so spoke to my heart about this in my marriage with my wife. And this is where it started for me, was coming into unity in my marriage. So I want to talk about that this morning. Is anyone alive? It will get better. It might get worse for some, I'm not sure. Um, If our unity is purely based on agreement, then as soon as we disagree on an issue, somebody has to leave. But what I see in Scripture is that, what about if we took the model of a healthy family, and therefore it was no longer about agreement on these trivial things, but it was more about relationship, protecting connection, and what's actually in the heart of God. In a healthy family, when mom and dad have their kids, their siblings, the extended family over for dinner, the invitations aren't sent out because a certain child believes a political view. The invitations aren't sent out because someone has a belief about a certain thing. In a healthy family, mom and dad are sending out invitations for dinner because they want connection. They want relationship. And in a healthy family, these beliefs on these type of things will often be overlooked because of love. Acts chapter 2, let's go there. I'm just going to read from verse 1 to 13. This passage messes me up in so many ways. And yeah, anyway, I'm just going to read it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The King James says they were all with one accord. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were at that time staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" And verse 11, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Like I said, this messes me up for so many reasons, this passage. In verse 6, it says the crowd was bewildered. In verse 7, it says they were amazed. In verse 12, it says they were amazed and perplexed. And in verse 13, it says they were mocking. Sounds like revival. Honestly, this is the outcome of a move of God. People were amazed. They were overcome with awe. They were perplexed. And they got mocked. It sounds like an authentic move of God. But what I want to have a talk about this morning is what led up to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know that 120 people were meeting for 10 days in an upper room. And what fascinates me is what happened in this 10-day period. Because on day 10, it says they were together in one accord. And I have a suspicion that when they arrived on day 1, they weren't in unity. They weren't in one accord. You can just imagine, they've literally been on a roller coaster ride. This is the 12 plus the extended followers of Jesus. They've seen him die, they've seen him resurrected. They're just going up and down an emotional roller coaster. They've had guys who have followed from a distance. They've had some that have outwardly betrayed him, denied him. some women who stayed faithful. They've had all this stuff go on, and then they arrive together, 120 people together with mixed emotions, and here they are in one place together, and they're told to wait. I can just imagine the other disciples and the other 120 as Peter comes in the room. I mean, he was the one that stood up and said he was better than everybody else, because he said that he would not deny Jesus. And here he was, he denied Jesus. How is everybody else feeling? What attitudes are going on in that room? I would have loved to be a fly on the wall 10 days later when the Holy Spirit came, but I would have loved to be there at the beginning and just observe what was going on. I bet there was some dysfunction. I bet there was some disunity. I bet they were not gathering together in one accord. But something happened in this 10-day period. We don't really know what, but we know that on day 10 they were in one accord. And we know the outcome of that. There may be lots of reasons, and there's probably a lot of theological perspectives about why the Holy Spirit was poured out at this particular time, but I believe one of the main reasons was because they came into this perfect unity. In the last 12 months, I had an opportunity to do a church plant, and there was a lot of training involved in that, but one of the things was reading materials from all over the world about what different churches were doing and church strategies. And a lot of people have man-made strategies. They're thinking, if we do this, maybe this will be the outcome. Or if we do this, maybe this will be the outcome. Or how about if we tweak this? Or how about if we make these structural changes or this other change? And I believe in strategies. I love strategies. But I believe the Lord is looking primarily for a unified people that the fire of God can come and rest upon. Ten days it took these people to get from disgruntled issues going on to where the scripture said they were together with one accord and the Holy Spirit came. On day 10, there was 120 people that were not in tune with each other, but in tune with God, which meant they were in tune with each other. Let me say that again. There was 120 people that were not in tune with each other, but in tune with God, so they were in tune with each other. In other words, the emphasis wasn't about me getting unity with the next person. It was about them all focusing on the unity that comes from the Spirit. Oftentimes we're chasing unity with one another when the Lord's actually looking for unity that comes from the influence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not much into orchestras and big jazz ensembles. I know some people are. I can appreciate the skill. But I've found out that you can have a room full of instruments in an orchestra, and they can be all tuned to each other, so they're all in tune, but yet they can still be out of tune because they're not tuned to the tuning fork. There's a thing called a 440 tuning fork that each instrument should be tuning back to the tuning fork. And what can happen is you can have a whole room full of instruments that are tuned to each other and not the tuning fork. They are in tune with each other, but somebody who walks into that room and can hear perfect pitch will notice straight away that something's wrong. They'll notice straight away that something's not right. And it's because all these instruments are tuned to each other. There's a lot of Christians that we tune ourselves to each other, but oftentimes we're not tuned to the Lord. We're not tuned to the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what happens when everybody actually adjusts to the influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. When people adjust to the presence, to God Himself, and just surrender and yield their hearts for Him to bring an influence into. Let's jump across to Ephesians 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4, 3 says, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It says, make every effort to keep, preserve, maintain. In other translations, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Biblical unity is not about us creating unity. Biblical unity, as Paul speaks about here in Ephesians, he actually commands us to maintain it, preserve it, keep it, not actually create it. We're not called to create unity. We're called to maintain it. And oftentimes when we start to think that we're called to create unity, we actually lose the influence of the Holy Spirit. We actually think it's all about us getting together and being the same, believing the same, getting on the same page, and we actually leave the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and ultimately that will still lead to division. Any part in my life that is not yielded to the Holy Spirit will end in division. Any part in my life, in my marriage, that is not yielded to the Holy Spirit will end in division. Where there's division is oftentimes a sign that the Holy Spirit has not had influence in our lives, our church, our marriages, our workplace, wherever it is. I promise you it's going to get better. This is huge, bud. This is huge. We don't create the unity of the Spirit. We maintain it. This biblical unity of the Spirit is a God-breathed reality. It's crazy, but the more I allow the influence of God in my life, the more I live in unity with people. We have the scriptures here, but for me, I've seen it in my own life. The more I'm influenced by God, all of a sudden the natural tendency is to live in unity with people. I'm not fighting for something that I shouldn't be fighting for. I'm not trying to take bullets for something that doesn't really matter. I'm not trying to be right all the time in my marriage just because I'm right, while everybody else suffers. The more I yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit, I actually live in unity with people. The realm of division actually exists when we live without the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's a major part of it. Let's go back to Acts 2. If you got your Bibles, flick back to Acts 2. It says, when they were all together in one accord, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In verse 6 it says, this is when the crowds, when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. This is crazy. Just imagine this. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And here's a group of 120 people that have worked through their issues for the last 10 days. They've got in tune with God, which means they're in tune with each other. They've allowed the influence of the of God to impact their lives, and they're in tune with each other. And then a sound from heaven came, and God breathed over yielded hearts. At that moment, He breathed over yielded, in tune hearts, and a sound erupted that came from heaven to earth. Who wants that? Amen. This is what happens when we come into this place of a yielded heart, of total surrender, total influence to the Holy Spirit. A sound from heaven is released that as it blows over yielded hearts, something happens in the atmosphere. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, well, where do we start? Like, maybe you don't even feel like you hold an influential position. The best place to start is in your family, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids. What is possible when you as a united group go out and allow God to breathe over yielded hearts that are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? It's crazy to think what's possible. So here we have these 120 who are gathered in this upper room, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and people are in the city. It's an international city, and all of a sudden they're working. You know, mum's looking after kids, parents are looking after kids. People are working in the marketplace, and all of a sudden a sound from heaven over yielded hearts is like broadcast through the atmosphere. I don't even know how to explain this. This is weird. It seems like it's more than just people speaking in other languages. Because in an international city, if somebody came and they speak your language, it's not necessarily going to draw a crowd. It sounds like there's something else going on where the Spirit of God was breathing across and awakening something in people's hearts who days before had just killed him. So here we have people in the marketplace. We have people in their homes. All of a sudden, this sound from heaven comes through yielded hearts and is released in a city. And people put down their toys. They put down their shovels. They put down their groceries. And they start moving towards this sound. They don't know why. It says they're perplexed. They don't have a clue, but they're just being attracted to a sound. And then they look over and their neighbor's doing the same thing. And they look over and their friend is doing the same thing. And all of a sudden, people are moving towards a location. This sound is being released. It so impacted people's hearts. It so impacted their life that it was awakening their destiny. It was awakening something inside of them that was never there before. would it look like if in your family you allowed the Holy Spirit to take up influence? What would it look like as you walked around the marketplace, the areas of influence you have? What would it look like as you walked in communities and neighborhoods and friends and places of influence? What would it look like? Is it possible that you could create such an environment where God would just want to breathe upon it, to release a sound that would bring total transformation to the hearts and lives of people? This is the cry of my heart. Because I only want to do what He's doing. I don't want a thought to be in my mind that isn't in His. I don't want a response to be in my mouth that isn't in His. I don't want to think, I don't want to act, I don't want to do anything that isn't like Him. And He gives me a lot of grace. But what about if our yielded hearts created that breath of God that would blow over us, that would create a sound that would be released? The people who were once dead, something became alive. People that had no hope, all of a sudden something began to grow. You know, I said before that in the last 12 months I was involved in a church plant, and this was crazy because there was all different people. There were six of us who were in the leadership of this, and we didn't have a lot in common, naturally. And when we arrived as a group, it was something I've never experienced before. This unity in the Spirit was gained that happened within days that I've never experienced, even for years. Now, obviously, that when we did the church plant, we were operating under another anointing. I believe that was a big part of it, the anointing of the house at Bethel there. But I believe that people coming into unity had a big part about it. And it wasn't, you have to believe what I believe. It was about, as individuals and as a team, we just allow the influence of the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. And it was crazy what happened. The third week, I was sharing this a few days ago, but the third week we had 70 people that were unchurched. The miracles, the power of God was hitting the place. It exploded. There's a lot of reasons why that happened, but I believe a big part of it was yielded hearts. People coming in unity with the influence of our God, allowing His influence to impact our lives. Allow your heart to be in such a state of surrender, of yieldness, that He will blow over it and transformation to happen. Yeah, recently, probably in the last couple of years, we had some discussions with people, and they said to us that they had served God all their life, and they said, for this season now, it's all about our kids, and we're going to prioritize our kids. And they had scripture verses to back that up, and it was good. And the crazy thing is that if we prioritize anything above His influence, it's going to end in division. And unfortunately, we watched this family start to divide. We saw this family start to divide, and issues and conflict. And it was because they had put something else above that is very important to God, family. But His influence should be the number one. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you. In the hearts of all of us, a natural response is to fight for something, is to be right, is to prioritize our own personal preference even above the influence of God. But Caboolture needs the love and the power of God. Caboolture needs, our community needs, people going out of this place empowered, impacted, in unity to allow the sound of heaven to go from heaven to earth and impact people's lives. Could it be possible that this unity in the Spirit actually plays a big part? I think it could. I think it could. I think strategies are great. But I think sometimes we prioritize these things over the number one thing, which is His influence. Whether it's in your families, in your relationships, in your workplace, in the church. Why don't we this morning just surrender our hearts again? Myself and Rach had to revisit this a few days ago because we felt the unity between us had shifted slightly. And we had to sit down and say, maybe we've lost His influence in part. This is a lifestyle. I'm not preaching from a perfect position. But our community needs to experience the love and power of God. God is looking to breathe upon yielded hearts. I'm convinced of it. He's looking to breathe upon yielded hearts that will put aside differences, persuasions, styles, preferences, even emphasis on theological truths, put them aside and come in one accord and see the purposes of God become a reality in our town. Why don't we just pray together? I'm just going to pray, but I just want you to just right now just engage with God where you are in your own life. Just engage with Him. Just allow Him to expose anything. So Jesus, we come to You today. We come as people that have more questions than answers. But we come and we yield our hearts to You. We ask that You would find 120 people in Caboolture and Hope Point Church that would so be in unity and one accord that as You blow, that something would happen, that there would be a sound, a resounding sound that goes beyond the four walls of this church, that it starts to infiltrate businesses, schools, playgrounds, workplaces, cul-de-sacs, neighborhoods, that we would see everything that You came and paid for. We just surrender our lives to You again. We thank You that You're so gracious. We thank You for the grace that You constantly give us every day. And we just surrender our lives to You. Make us more like You. Our prayer is, make us more like You. Amen.